Hutcher and Rich are always with you.
That's just gross.
Open the 98.5 The Sports Hub app, and you'll be listening to Boston's home for sports. It's just that simple.
Okay, you sold me.
Hutcher and Rich.
Self-help shenanigans.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Fire it all.
You're running the game. Wallach right now has this urge to stand up, put his iPod on, and run around the neighborhood.
Wallach likes Pitbull. Walk this way.
I don't think truer words have ever been spoken.
I don't think I've ever gotten that far into fireball in my life.
Well, listen, all I know is that when you start things off kicking a cipher like this. Mr. Worldwide to infinity, you know the roof on fire. Listen to the laughs. We go boogie, hoogie, hoogie, jiggle, wiggle, and dance. Like the roof on fire. We go drink drinks and take shots until we fall out. Like the roof on fire. Now, baby, get my booty naked, take off all your clothes and light the roof on fire. What do you do? I'm on fire. What are you?
I'm a fireball.
Yeah!
You see, you laugh, but Ice Cube sat in that chair and said he liked Pitbull.
Ice Cube wouldn't crap on Fred Durst.
Yeah.
Ice Cube was trying to sell tickets to a basketball game and
Durst.
Not offend anybody. No. Ice Cube was in salesman mode.
How is not crapping on Fred Durst going to sell you basketball
he
tickets?
Said that he never said he was a good rapper. He said that he was a good director. Is what he said.
Ice Cube not crapping on Pitbull going to limit his basketball tickets?
Because he doesn't want to offend
Pitbull
anyone.
Fans. Right.
Okay. All right, so maybe Pitbull has a point. Due to his lack of looks, dance ability, lyrical skills, or anything else, he has managed to become famous.
Yep.
But Rich, now he is a entrepreneur.
Okay, so there was an advertisement that I saw for a primetime special on a Sunday night, which is pretty big hours.
Yeah, Sunday night's a big night.
Sunday night at 9 p.m., and it was going to be on Fox News, and it was an hour-long special about why is Pitbull so awesome. It wasn't even about investing like we had seen him do in the past. It's just like, Pitbull's the best. And it was hosted by Harvey Levin of TMZ, which immediately makes me think one thing and one thing only is that Harvey Levin has something on Pitbull.
Right.
And said, all right, I'll release this unless you record a one-hour special with me. And then he went to Fox News and said, hey, I have something on you as well, and you're going to run this in prime time on a Sunday, and you're going to pay me for it. And everyone's like, cool, man. Just don't release that tape of me doing that thing with that person. And so that's – because you know that happened with Justin Bieber. I guess it was leaked out that he had some tape of Justin Bieber saying something like pretty awful. I think it was like he was saying the N-word over and over or whatever. And they didn't release the tape because he agreed to do a bunch of appearances on TMZ Live. So every time I see that, I think that. But here's the pit man, Mr. Bull, just talking about why he's so awesome for some reason on a Sunday night during prime time on Fox News.
Does he use the word hustle?
Listen, shake woogie woogie wiggle jiggle and dance like the roof on fire, I believe he does.
You are light skin, blue eyes.
Yeah.
Was that a problem?
Light skin, blue eyes, Cuban, from Miami. Too Latin for hip-hop and too hip-hop for Latin. Till y'all figure it out, I'm gonna keep rapping.
Well, my friend, you can't even you can't even stop rapping.
Just comes right out of you.
Yeah. I'm going to boogie, boogie, boogie.
Let the revolver.
Being silly.
I know you're Latin, but I still got to represent my roots.
To me, it was always a blessing to be able to walk in a room and people think, nah, there's no way this guy is going to bring it. And then be able to bring it, not only be able to bring it flow-wise, business-wise, and also bring it where the word, as a wordsmith, well, it got to...
You just illustrated right there.
That's right. You are indeed a wordsmith.
Yeah. I would come up on stage business-wise. This is a guy who has like Carmelo Anthony, who has a big table with a picture of Scarface.
Right.
On it.
And immediately it's like, I'm a businessman.
I'm a business. This is where I do business.
Yeah, I mean, he is a wordsmith. Mommy got an ass like a donkey with a monkey. Look like King Kong. Welcome to the crib. Real fast. That's what it is with the women down here. Okay, well, I mean, it's
not good. No. He's not good at rapping.
to the point, Harvey, that I was battling four guys at a time against me. So, example, if I'm battling you right now, I see you with a green jacket. I don't know what you're packing. Me, you more like a blaster. I should wear that green jacket because I just won the Masters.
See, I'm bragging about my golf skills now. Not only my
excellent. Did that even rhyme?
Blaster
sort
and
of.
Masters. Yeah,
it
sure.
Sort of rhymed.
Sure, he did.
Blaster
yeah.
and Masters?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I see you with a green jacket. I don't know what you're packing. Me, you more like a blaster. I should wear that green jacket because I just won the Masters. You feel me? That's what you would do, freestyling.
I had to get the name Pitbull.
Pitbull came about. I have a very, had a very, very good friend named Junior. And one day we're on the way to watch a Pitbull fight. Junior turns to me and goes, that's your name. So crazy thing is, that's your name.
What a story.
I'm telling you. That should be a whole chapter in the Pitbull
yeah,
book.
When does the biography come out?
Could have named him like TGI Fridays or something. He's gone out to dinner. It could have been anything.
They were going to call me Mozzarella Sticks. then the whole thing fell apart.
And I named you Lamp.
See, here's the thing. Is he goes Pitbull fight, and then he like looks at you and like, you know, like raises an eyebrow like, that's right. Pitbull fight.
How'd you get the name Pitbull? A guy who saw Pitbull. Cool, man.
Yeah.
And Levin kept that in, too. Oh. Wow.
That's crazy. There, and that's why I'm named Home Depot. We were driving by a Home Depot. My friend said, you know what? That's you.
And one day we're on the way to watch a Pitbull fight. Junior turns to me and he goes, that's your name. So crazy thing is, that's my story of my life.
You say that what you do is...
That you just say whatever?
I just see things and I just say it.
That's the story of my life.
Mm-hmm.
It's the house tree. I just sit on the train and say things that are going by.
You say that what you do is 10% artistry and 90% business.
All day.
Yeah, I believe that.
Sure.
Maybe 99% business and 1% jackassery.
At the end of the day, the music is a product. Same thing as the dope game. Only thing I'm giving you, you're not snorting with your nose, you're snorting with your ear. So yeah. For me...
It is like the dope game. And how? Look at these artists trying to create something meaningful. Or express themselves artistically. I mean, why would you possibly buy another Pitbull album if he's just like, yeah, music's a product.
That's right.
It's just a product to be consumed like anything else.
You're all a bunch of money mouths to me.
Like it's about making money. And 99% of what I do has nothing to do with the art of the whole thing. Like, this is how you're promoting yourself, Mr. Worldwide?
That's right. Listen, I really don't care about what's... It's a product. It's stale.
Yeah, like, don't you
There's
want
a
people
formula.
To... Like, don't people... You want people to buy your crap? You know what it is? I put absolutely no effort into anything I do. And you dumbasses just buy it.
Like, what he's saying.
No, that's exactly what he's saying. It's like the dope game. Oh, okay.
Except you snort it with your ear.
Right.
Mm.
I've tried it several times. It does not work well. JP, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
Hey, I got a great segment. Is it Ray Lewis or Pitbull? Because they're both sounding like the same nut person. I can't tell what the hell Pitbull
Oh, he got nothing on me.
5, 15, 75.
That's right, Pitbull. You know, I was driving, they said, Ray, how'd you get those numbers? And I said, well, listen, I was playing the game of life.
Oh, really?
No, literally.
Like the one where you spin the little thing.
Yeah. How many
kids
I got 5, 15, and 75.
Yeah.
15, 75.
Okay, I see that. Yes, I mean.
They said Monopoly, and I got so frustrated, I chucked it off the table.
An attitude in my message.
I don't understand Monopoly. Boardwalk, Schmordmark. Like the roof on fire.
Yes, that's right. Pitbull.
The roof's on fire.
It's Pitbull Ray Lewis.
We go boogie 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 boogie. Killer guy. We a little shake of the dance.
Go to stab a guy.
Go stab a guy. Oh, ain't God grand. All right, here we go. Here is more of Pitbull talking about why you shouldn't buy his music.
And I always say it about the music business, too. I've used it in a rhyme. It says, I'm a part of the music business. Half of these people don't know music and don't know business, have no business in music. What is this?
Why did you decide to be...
you showcasing
what,
that?
What is this? I'm not sure. What is this?
That's...
Numbers.
Maybe that's what it is.
That's right.
Someone said, I need a pay-per-view of Ray Lewis and Pitbull simply having a conversation for 30 minutes.
Stop talking about the roof being on fire. You're scaring the bejeebus out of me. Ooh, that roof is on fire. Grab the kitty cat first. He cannot survive.
He doesn't mean that literally. And when he says fireball, I don't think Pitbull Ray Lewis.
Well, he's obviously from the depths of hell.
I don't think
he can shoot fireballs.
I don't believe that's the case.
All right, so we continue.
Why did you decide to be Mr. 305 when you had a world stage?
Well, this is what happened. Mr. 305 came from Trick Daddy. Trick Daddy's a big artist that came out of Miami, opened a lot of doors for us. And one day I was recording with him, and we figured out that we lived in a lot of the same neighborhoods. And when I told him in different spots I lived, he's like, man, you like Mr. 305. But the 305 to Mr. Worldwide, I said, whoa, now that's got a ring to it.
Lil Jon gave you some interesting advice. Make music for women.
Yeah, he told you to quit. Lil Jon after
quit. Yeah! Should I quit? Yeah!
Lil Jon.
Made a career out of one word.
Yeah, that Lil Jon, whose career is going incredibly well right now. Lil Jon had some advice to you, is could you loan him some cash?
Yeah! Dude, are you on unemployment? Yeah!
When your most famous thing is the Chappelle Show skit. I don't think everything's going great for you.
Oh, yeah. What does that mean? Women are the most powerful things in the world. That's why I say I've been very blessed to be raised by...
He is such a feminist. Women are the most powerful things in the world.
You can hear it in his lyrics, too.
Yeah, exactly. You know, when you're pounding them, they can say all kinds of introspective stuff. I mean, I'm constantly amazed when I'm plowing one of these things. What comes out of their mouth? Boogie, boogie, boogie. And when do that thing. That's a good song. He has no business on that song.
Oh, yeah. What does that mean? Women are the most powerful things in the world. That's why I say I've been very blessed to be raised by women, and a woman made me a man. Because not only do I got the street's intuition, but I got a woman's intuition. Now that's dangerous.
And that's pizzazz.
Yes, it is.
And that's where the whole outfits come from.
Now that's dangerous.
You have Pitbull's life plans.
So it's 09 Freedom, 10 Invasion, 11 Build Empire, 12 Grow Wealth, 13 Put the Puzzle Together.
I understand completely.
numbers.
That makes... Now, Pitbull, you're speaking my language.
Crazy, right?
It is crazy.
5-15-75.
13 Park Place, 14 Go to the Movies. I understand it. It seems like a good plan to me.
14, buckle up. 15, make history. 16, disruption. 17 was Gingerbread Man playing Catch Me If You Can.
Yeah, I like Gingerbread Man too.
What?
What you don't know about Gingerbread Man?
What? No. What is that?
You say three times in the mirror, he come get you.
No, that's not Gingerbread Man.
Huh?
You'd probably enjoy that. A Gingerbread Man would be a delightful
you
thing.
You mean the book
here.
About the Irish alcoholic that beat women? That's actually a book called The Gingerbread Man.
It's a random reference.
That's right.
Okay. Crazy, right?
Yes, you are. You are crazy.
We have to break.
All right.
It's been far too long. This portion of the Touch and Rich show is brought to you by New Pro Home Improvements.
You can play with numbers, but some numbers you can never change. Numbers 515-575. 515-575.
Crazy, right?
515-575.
That's God's number.
515-575.
That's why I'm still kissing you in the mouth.
98.5. Toucher and Rich.
985 to Sports Hub with Toucher and Rich. You can't pick up a newspaper or turn on the computer about it without hearing about this guy. Mike Giardi wisely got out of NBC Sports Boston, which is a dead end. And then he is now with, I can say with all certainty that he is with the NFL Network. He has a national platform. He's going to specialize, I read, in the Patriots, but he is in no way indentured to them. And there was a debate yesterday. Phil Perry's a honk. There's no question about it. Rich was in camp. Huh?
Yeah, he's a honk.
Yeah, there's no question.
So even you, Mike, are in agreement that Phil Perry would be classified. He's a classic hunk, correct?
Well, look at that. I used to be next to Tom Curran all the time, and, you know, I felt pretty good about that scenario.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, I'm standing next to Phil Perry, and I kind of, you know, I started to have some self-doubt. You know, I just didn't feel quite as good about myself. I have my workouts 2 times a day, you know, like I was getting Botox. You know, you got to do everything you can to try to keep up with Phil.
Have you ever gotten Botox? Because I would if I was on TV.
I have not gotten Botox. The idea of a needle in my face is not something that is appealing to me.
See, I would get Botox. I would get everything.
Yeah, you see, I wouldn't do that. Just you're right. The needle in the face thing.
The hair transplant, you got to get a bunch of needles in your face. So there was a debate. Rich was firmly on the side of you being a hunk. And I said, you're more like a cutie pie. and then everyone agreed with me.
Yeah, I think that's more. I think that's fair. I think cutie pie is fair. You know, like I like to think now at my age, I'm aging gracefully.
Yeah, you're a handsome man. There's no question about it. And what's funny is people
ruggedly handsome.
Like people,
ruggedly handsome.
Isn't that the best kind of handsome?
There is no better. You want to be ruggedly handsome.
No, yeah. You want to be Perry.
No, because that's like a Tom Selleck type thing. Perry's like a young buck handsome. You got like ruggedly handsome. Yeah, everyone wants
the
to
women.
Be
the women love the ruggedly handsome guy. Yeah. That's true. They do.
That's why you can't wear sunscreen. You got to get those lines in your face.
That's true.
Is that it?
That's right.
All right. So you're doing
the weathered.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's right. Weathered and leathered.
All right. So we were having this debate earlier, and I would like your opinion on it. Given the age of Tom Brady and how old the roster is, say Sam Darnold ends up being a very good quarterback, and we're making a lot of assumptions. When is the earliest you think the Jets could be a real threat to win the division?
When Tom Brady no longer plays like Tom Brady, which, you know, I mean, kind of keep waiting for because at his age and now he's 41, you say, when's that going to happen? It happens to everybody else. Well, it hasn't happened to him yet. So I think when you finally see signs that Tom is not the best quarterback in the league or one of the 3 or 4 best quarterbacks in the league, then maybe – if Darnold is that kind of player, then maybe the Jets can make a move. I mean, look, across the league, if you don't have a good quarterback, you got no shot. And when you have a good one, you know, it elevates everybody around you. And that's what the Jets are hoping for. That's what the Cleveland Browns are hoping for with Baker Mayfield. That's what the Bills are hoping for with Josh Allen. I mean, there's a lot of teams have sunk in the division and in the conference into the quarterback position.
All right, so Bill Belichick has kind of put the brakes on Tom Brady during this preseason, and there's speculation is that I guess that Brady would be frustrated because he likes being out there. What is the strategy there? Do you believe in that strategy, and do you think that's going to help him later in the season?
I was having a conversation with someone who I consider fairly well plugged in, and the conversation was more about sports science and that someone's in Belichick's ear about maybe less being more. And it wasn't just with Tom Brady this summer. It's been with Gronkowski. It's been with Julian Edelman at points. Devin McCourty. They've taken care of some of their veteran players, some of their older players, some of their, you know, in Gronk's case, injury-prone players, with the idea, I think, of keeping them fresher, not just for the start of the season, but more importantly, for the end of the year. And I asked Bill, it was about 4 or 5 days ago, about the idea of this camp had been different. And how much, having played late into the season again last year, that's 2 straight Super Bowls, AFC Championship the year prior. And he's like, you absolutely have to take that into account. He's like, I'm not complaining. You want to be there. That's the goal. But, yeah, you have to consider how much more football our guys have played over the last few years. And you kind of have to alter your plan for that. So, I mean, maybe it looks a little bit rugged in September, but I think the idea is that he feels like in December and January, and you hope February is when that's going to pay off.
Okay, so this upgrade, I guess you could call it, that Tom Brady got to his contract, I think shocked everyone, that nobody thought it was going to be this $5 million incentive-based contract, which very realistically, there's a chance that he might not be able to fill out the entire thing. Why do you think that is? Because it was a shock to everyone. No one expected this. No money next year, which is interesting as well. Why do you think the shortchanging of Tom Brady happened?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I will say this, that in giving him the guaranteed money this year, you push more dead money to the cap next year, which to me, I think is an indication that he's playing next year, that they feel like they have at least 2 years here with Tom Brady. But my understanding is Brady wanted an extension. And I think the Patriots are looking at it like, look, you're in uncharted territory. Why are we going to extend you when you even had some doubts about whether or not you were going to come back this year? You know, we all saw the end of Tom versus Time. You had the Adam Schefter report in April about, well, he hasn't told anyone yet that he's playing, which I think was related to Gronkowski and the rumblings of the Gronkowski trade. But nonetheless, he put it out there, or had his people put it out there. So I think they're just kind of saying to him, look, we'll give you performance-based incentives like we did Gronk last year. We're happy to push dead money to the cap next year because I'm guessing that they got a commitment for him to play next year. But then nobody really knows beyond that. I mean, you remember he said, well, he negotiated 2 years with Giselle. That was this offseason. I think it was when he was talking with Oprah, or maybe it was Michael Milken or one of those things. But I've negotiated 2 years. Okay, so why will we extend you beyond 2019 then? If you've only negotiated 2 years with your wife.
So it almost sounds like punitive, like they're punishing him for being noncommittal here in the off season and doing Tom versus Time and putting those things into the universe. Does it feel that way, that almost like he's being punished for all of that?
I don't know if I would call it punished. I just think that they have, look, his play has given us no reason to think something's going to change unless they see something that we can't, which obviously they have, far better eyes than analytics and all those sorts of things to say, hey, maybe that he wasn't throwing the ball as well late in the year, in their opinion. Maybe his velocity was down. Maybe when they had to rest him at the end of the year, it's something that's been going on the last few years in terms of practices, like his body is starting to show some signs in their mind of age. Why would you extend him? Like, it's all well and good, 505 yards in the Super Bowl, but if you're them, you've got him for two more years. You've got him at a good number. You've got him at a great number. So why would you go any further than that?
I don't know. I guess.
You go ahead and prove it to us that you can still play at this level.
Well.
And then when we get to that point, you know, we'll talk about beyond 2019.
Well, let's say that, because there's another speculation as to one thing that he might be getting because he was not getting the extension. They did not give that to him, and it was this kind of lame incentive-based contract, or at least a $5 million upgrade that they gave him, that some people are speculating that maybe he was able to get some sort of the concession that he wanted regarding Alex Guerrero. Have you heard anything about that? And what is Guerrero's status right now with this team, like as it stands?
As far as I know, I talked to someone about, I would say, 10 days ago or so. Guerrero has access in the building, which is really no different than last year. I think, you know, we all saw the video of him getting the rub down in the suite, moving the sterno cans. Mm-hmm, yeah. I don't know if that's going to change, but Guerrero is allowed in the building. And I'm told that he's allowed to practice, which I think is a bit of a market correction from last year. I think when the banning, if you will, when the restrictions came down on Guerrero, I think that was something that got taken off the plate for him. And I think he is now allowed to go back to practice, from my understanding. Although I don't believe we saw him at training camp once. He does like to spend most of his time in his offices at TB12. But that's, I guess, if you want to call that a concession, if being allowed to practice, if that's, if my source is accurate, which I believe he is, then I guess maybe that's something that would make Brady happy. But it doesn't sound like there's been too much of a change on that front.
Who is left for Brady to throw the football to, Mike? And
and you were there when Dorsett got injured yesterday. Can you kind of take us through what you saw? I'm sorry to cut you off, but that's something I do want to know about, along the lines of Wallach's question about the receiver.
Well, I mean, it looked really bad. He was coming a crossing pattern. He planted his foot, his right leg. He slipped. Immediately when he went down, the defenders called for the medical staff. So that meant he screamed. Or something to that effect that alerted them right away. Something's not right. They came out. He was on the field for a little while. They took him to the Blue Medical Tent, and when they walked him over there, he was leaning on two different trainers, and it didn't look great. It was the right leg. He went into the medical tent, came back out. He had his head in his hands. Like he looked like he was pretty well bummed out, like something significant had happened. Different people came over to him. Jack Easterby, who's sort of their spiritual guy, he went over there and patted him on the back. Nick Caserio ended up going over there and patting him on the back.
That's not good.
Brady checked in on him. But then all of a sudden, I don't know, 10 minutes after this happened, he stands up in the end zone and he starts taking had an equipment guy throwing passes at him. He wasn't running routes. He was just standing there.
It's Paul Pierce.
And then he had a couple balls thrown over his shoulder, and a couple times he actually sort of left his feet. And when he was walking off the field, he walked off the field the first time after I think it was his girlfriend was over there on the hill with the players' wives and girlfriends and family. He ended up coming back 10 to 15 minutes later, which was odd in and of itself. And I got him just quickly as he was walking down the hill, and I said, are you okay? And he said, I'm all right. Yeah, I'm all right. And, you know, from multiple reports since then, sounds like they dodged a bullet. But that certainly was frightening in the moment, and you know, with the injuries that they have at that position and the lack of depth, I don't think he's had a very. I think he started out with a good camp, and I think he didn't end on such a good note. But he's someone they need, and they're, you know, you haven't had Kenny Britt out there. Obviously, we now know what happened to Malcolm Mitchell. That turned out to be a non-starter for them this year. That there's Eric Decker's had a case of the drops since he's come here. They've got some work to do at that position for sure.
All right. Well, hunk or not, Mike Giardi has moved up in the world, and he is now national, and he can be seen on the NFL Network starting tomorrow evening. Is that your first run, or is it today?
I believe tomorrow evening, right before Patriots Eagles, right around 7 o'clock.
Well, congratulations for getting out of that hellhole and getting yourself on the NFL Network.
Oh, come on, Fred! You know, I mean, you feel it. You miss Gary. I mean, who doesn't miss Gary? Every day I miss Gary.
I love Gary. I've had no contact with Gary in like 3 years. I love Gary. I really do, but I've had no contact with him in 3 years. Well, thank you so much.
He's frozen you out.
I bet you he has, quite honestly, and for some reason that I'll never know.
That goes your there goes your invite to Sudbury. That's right. I'm not going to let you in.
All right, I don't know where that is anyway. All right, Mike Giardi, thank you so much for the time.
Thanks, guys.
All right. See you, I'm of course joking about NBC Sports Boston. I have nothing but indifference towards their product. when we come back, Mildred, we'll hear more from Mildred. One of my favorite people on the planet, but first, the headlines.
Stay tuned for Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Do you hear me, Captain? Kiss my butt!
Yeah, he said that.
That's what he called himself.
He put his arm around me and said, "You call me Paul."
And what happened after that, Mildred?
And then we went back to some room and, we bumped uglies.
You what?
Bumped uglies.
Oh, Mildred. 98.5 Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Mildred is a older woman, I would imagine, who calls upon Paul Feinbaum show. Paul Feinbaum, a broadcaster who basically super serves Hicks. It's supposed to be about college football, but a lot of times it ventures into other categories. And that was Mildred talking about having sex with Bear Bryant.
And, you know, is she?
She's always thinking about the bear.
That's why the marriage broke up.
That's why the marriage broke up. Right. Mm-hmm.
Because her and Bear Bryant, as we learned, they
bumped uglies.
And she is a 87-year-old, at least...
God, don't die, Mildred. Don't die, Mildred.
She's probably dead by now.
Oh,
because I think that's
no.
like a few years old, that one right there.
Oh, Mildred.
Unfortunately. We'll have to check on her, see how she's doing.
But Mildred, we've played these in the past, but since the fantastic Bear Bryant call, I can't recall all these phone calls, so I would imagine most of the audience doesn't recall them either. But Mildred has called in about a myriad of things, and here she is talking about some issues she might be having.
Hello, welcome to our program. You're calling from Panama City. How you doing?
Not real good.
But Panama City is a nice place.
I wouldn't know. I'm locked up in this dungeon all day.
Have you heard our show down there yet?
No, I'm not yet. I can't hear good. I had a lot of surgery since last time.
What has been going on, Mildred?
Well, they just don't hang up on me. See what happened. Well, I was doing number two, and...
Would she say I was going number two?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, that's right.
Mildred. I have a feeling there's a subgenre of something that you can find on the internet.
I mean, this is the definition of an old person who just loses their filter. Like, I mean, just they have nothing that says maybe you shouldn't say this.
No, she just...
And it's the most glorious thing in the world. Nothing better than...
She called into a national radio show.
I don't even think it's that. I think it's...
Oh, it's that.
She just has this story that she doesn't see anybody. She's all alone, and she needs to talk to someone about this. I don't think it has to do with filter. I think it has to do with something that she's very worried about, doesn't have anyone to talk to, and so she called Paul Feinbaum to do it.
All right. So a lot of people, the end of the last call that we played, she said they were bumping uglies. A lot of people can't understand Mildred. Right. All right. So I need translation myself sometimes.
Don't hang up on me. Say what happened. Well, I was doing number two, and you fell out of
the hole. He ain't hanging up. He ain't hanging up.
You can tell he's just covering
his mouth. And he never laughs.
It's like, where will this tale take us?
Mildred just struggling for an hour to go to the bathroom.
Right.
And I reached back and it was a wiping now.
Number two. And I reach back there and I'm whopping it all.
And I kept a feeling something.
And I like how she can't go outside. You know it's like Haley's Comet every time she has a bowel movement. It's like once every 7 years.
For the first time in like a decade, it's not dust.
Yeah. False alarm.
And I grabbed it in the pose, in the pose.
I've never had hemorrhoids, so I don't even know what she's talking about. But my advice, you know, the doctor told me to just start yanking on it. Hey, Doc, I got this. I was going to the bathroom and I got this thing. Well, just yank on it.
Just pull. It's like one of those magician's handkerchiefs. Just keep pulling. Yeah,
what could go wrong? Rip it out.
And I kept a feeling something. And I grabbed it in the pose, in the pose. And
no, please.
And my hammer on it. And I had to have them cut off. And I grabbed it in the pose. Have them cut off. And my hammer on it. Have them cut off.
Like there was no end to the story.
That was the ending. And what do you think is the end of the story? That had twists and turns?
Yeah, it's a real choose-your-own-adventure.
I mean, first you find out she's number two. It's like, okay, this is the start of a good yarn.
Yeah, she had a lot... There was a lot to say.
And then what happened? Well, you were wiping. Yes, please. Do tell.
Mm-hmm. It's like no. Ow, my head.
And then what did you do?
It's like no.
In a pose.
It's like no ending.
And then the big surprise ending is.
Get my hammer out.
Right. It was like finding out Bruce Willis was a ghost. It's like, whoa, that's what it was. And then you got to cut it off, which is kind of like the super twist.
And I realized that it was a hemorrhoid the whole time. All right, let's break and then and play the final one.
Okay.
And then we'll have a couple guests in that are authors of that Brooke, book 12.
And I grab it and I pose. And my hammer out.
There's literally no ending to that story.
You got him cut off.
Hey, Paul, I took a dump. I started wiping myself and I found something and I pulled. And then it was hemorrhoids, and I had to get them taken out. Oh.
All right, thanks.
Thanks for the call.
Jeff from Birmingham, you're next.
What the hell is going on? All right, we'll be right back.
And my hammer out. Butcher and Rubbish. Well, they don't hang up on me. Say what happened. Well, I was there in number two, and... You fell out of the hole. And I reached back there and it was a wiping hole. And I kept a feeling something. And I grabbed it and I pose. And
no, please.
And my hammer out. And I had to have them cut off.
That is Mildred, everyone's favorite caller to the Paul Feinbaum show. Oh, I really hope she's not dead. She was 87 at the time of these phone calls. So far, you're aware of her hemorrhoids. You're aware that she had sex with Bear Bryant.
Not dead, please.
But there is...
Is this like a therapist situation where she just doesn't have anyone, so she just calls the Paul Feinbaum show and doesn't really care? Does she just need someone to talk to? Like, yeah. That's her own personal couch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should I save this, Dan, for tomorrow?
Yeah, let's save it. We've got guests waiting. It's worth saving.
Yeah, I get
it.
Yeah.
Thinking about the back.
Yeah, let's hold on to Mildred.
Okay.
We don't want to be rude.
No. And there's not a lot of time, but Mildred had sex with Bear Bryant.
She did. She is a legend, and we will, of course, pull her stuff in...
We'll have more tomorrow.
And a pull, and a pull, and a pull.
And I grabbed it, and I pulled.
And what happened after that, Mildred?
And then we went back to some room, and we bumped uglies.
You what?
Bumped uglies.
Very nice. Real quick, before we get to Casey Sherman and Dave Wedge, who are the authors of the new Deflategate Book 12, they're going to be in the studio with us. Just go to @TutcherAndRich, the Twitter account, and I retweeted something I showed you, Fred, earlier, and there's a video that Stanley Cup of Chowder put out of Zdeno Chara, and he's in a gym, but what he's doing is he's on one leg, balancing on one leg and jumping over hurdles on one leg. I want you to look at this video, and then today, on your own, try to do what he's doing over a shoebox. Just to put in perspective how much of a physical freak of nature Zdeno Chara is.
But did he ever have sex with Bear Bryant?
No, I don't know if he ever did, and I don't know even if he ever with him as well. But I do know that either way, this dude is an absolute freak. He's jumping. And like the thing is, he's jumping between the hurdles on one foot. So he doesn't go off of one foot on top of jumping over it, moving over to the next one, and then jumping over the next one.
All right, well, it certainly seems that, if he had hemorrhoids, he could successfully pull them.
And I grabbed it and I pulled. Mm-hmm.
All right, we will have headlines, there will be no commercials, and then we will talk to the authors of the big Tom Brady Deflategate book.